you have the church Bible, it's page 833. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
So just a couple things. First of all, I just want to say, I think I got thinking maybe we have a good opportunity for a fundraiser, because Sarah mentioned this is the last offering, but maybe we could maybe on the New Year's Eve service have an offering at 10 minutes to midnight or something. And then, maybe we'll get some, last donation. Yep, so maybe we could do that. The second thing is just even though we're a smaller group of people, but that doesn't mean the Lord doesn't have something to say to us, and that doesn't, I've preached before three, and I at least in my mind, I think I've done it the same way I would have done it before 300, so in my mind, there's nothing different here. We're here to hear from the Lord. But I do want to start off, the last week, our video that we ended the service with, I thought that is the perfect introduction to my message. And so even though we're not in a series, we're in between series, but it was weeks ago that I thought about doing it. And just as I saw that video, I thought this is the perfect introduction to my message. So we're going to watch that video again. So we'll go ahead and, if you want to get that one.
There's a voice that calls life from unexpected places. Barren lands will flourish with new creation. There's one who is searching for the pure in heart, waiting to find those who will trust. So what choice will you make? Because it may feel like choosing between life and death.
Take her as your wife.
But look closer. All he has ever offered us is life.
Messiah.
You see, God has come to the most unlikely people, urging them to follow, asking them to trust. The stories have been told for centuries. The wait is nearly over. Today, our Savior is born to bring light into dark places, to be the voice in the wilderness, to call you to come home, to bring joy to the world. God has chosen you, and he does not make mistakes. God's timing is not our timing. His love is not our love. He's turned his love into flesh and blood, and for that, we rejoice. Emmanuel. So don't wait, don't pack, don't plan. Just go. There is a world lost and hungry. There is a world lonely and wandering. And he has called us to go and tell them. Go and tell them what God is doing. Go and tell them that God is coming. Go and tell them. God is here.
Jesus just didn't come just so we could get gifts in December. But I tell you, this is exciting to me because we, right now, we are in the process as a church of just looking at everything again. We feel the call to have an impact on this community. An impact that changes lives, that sets people free, that does the things that Jesus came to do. If we're going to have an impact on our community, we need to be a light to our community. Amen. Todd's excited. We need to be a light to our community. If we're going to see drug addicts set free, we need to be offering them freedom. And there is freedom from drug addiction. If we're going to see broken families healed, we need to bring that healing to the broken families. This is not going to miraculously happen. We need to bring that healing to them. If we want to see the tormented find peace, we need to get them to have an encounter with the peace giver. My heart here, our heart as a leadership here, is we want to help you fulfill that mission. Later, I can hand it on. I don't know if there's a couple volunteers or one, probably with people we have. One, I have some papers if you want to hand them out. I like response, and this one I'm going to call for a specific response, so that way you can have it. But we want to help you fulfill that mission. So if you think of an area ministry that you would like help to actually do, and you'll get a better idea of what I'm getting at as we go through this, write it down, and we'll find someone to come alongside you and help you fulfill that mission. In the next few months, we're going to be offering opportunities to be involved in groups that will help you live a lifestyle of evangelism. If you're interested in that, you can circle this paper. We'll get you plugged in. And this is a lifestyle where you can help others find the life-changing relationship with the living God. Let me say it again. A lifestyle where you help others find the life-changing relationship with the living God.
Amen.
There we go, an amen. An amen. So, just come here. I want to say, as I talk about this today, I'm just going to be totally honest. Kelly mentioned months ago, I don't know how long, and I've heard him say it other times, but he mentioned it from the pulpit. He said that every preacher really only has about 5 messages. You know, they vary it here or there, but there's these things they're passionate about, and most of their messages, unless he was talking about in the context of running through a series, that's one of the benefits of it, because you just don't hear those same 5 over and over again. But I'm going to tell you today, unashamedly, that I'm coming with one of my messages that you've heard before in a different package, because I feel so strongly about it. I feel so strongly about it. And because here's the thing, and you've heard me talk about these scriptures before, but how are people going to hear about the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ? How are they going to hear it? From us. Amen. Who is God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for you to do? Who?
I am.
Yeah, you are. Who has been commissioned to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded?
I.
Yes. Amen. And it's because of that why I come unashamedly and say, yes, you've heard similar messages. You've heard me, even the scriptures I've referenced, even the last message I preached weeks ago, I even used some of these same scriptures. But I'm coming with a different package. And until I feel that every one of us is out there fulfilling our mission, our commission that God has given us, I'll keep preaching it. Not every time, but you'll keep hearing it from me. So unashamedly, I come to you and say that. But recently, I just want to tell you in that, God has challenged me to do more. And we won't do any pictures. I'll tell you when pictures. But I just want to preface. I'll try not to take too much time prefacing this. But in me coming to the Lord, even, I was homeless. And because of that, I have some understanding of what that's about and the different dynamics, which in some ways has given me more sympathy and empathy towards homeless. In other ways, I'm like, I've been there. I'm not even going to mess with that. And so it opted for me. Often I would go, when it came to food, almost anywhere in this country when it comes to food for homeless people, they have food. There's unlimited supply of food. It may not be what they want. It might be refried beans or garbanzo beans, but there is food. So for me, that was never a huge thing. I'd always be like, oh, food, everyone wants to feed the homeless. I'm just going by work every day, running down Columbia. Every single day, I kept seeing these people set up right near Argyle on Columbia, if anyone wants to know. But there was people set up there on the side of the road, some homeless people. And I'm just like, God, there's just started to work on my heart. God, there has to be something. And God, I just felt God speak to me. He says, I want you to do something. I'm like, okay, maybe I can. What can I do? Maybe I can help hook them up with social services, or maybe I can come in and have a Bible study, or maybe I can do this. And it's like, no, Lord. And God's just like, I think I want you to do something. You need to be doing something. And finally, and then, guess what he ended up calling me to do? After I struggled with him for a few months. Go and feed the homeless. with the different twists, the different heart behind it, I think. But it was interesting that that's what he called me to do. But it came down to what was different in my heart is God ended up saying, how can you best communicate that they are created in my image? That they're a disenfranchised group. When somebody sees a homeless person, they treat them different. How can you best treat them like someone that I created? And it was in that I came back around to say, I can give them a meal. But not the leftover food from all the time. There's people, they say weddings, talking with them enough. There's weddings. When somebody has a wedding, there's leftover food, they come and bring it to the homeless. So not bringing leftovers. Not bringing what we can scrap together through food pantry or donations, but bringing a quality meal. I just do have some pictures because visualizations sometimes are good, but we just go and look through here, a couple pictures. But here I am just meeting with them, just talking, and I should have had more pictures of the actual food, and we can go to the next one. There we have that, and then another picture. Just, again, there's nothing special about the pictures, which, by the way, two of the people in these pictures actually come and get food boxes here quite often. That's Alcatraz on the right. He comes here fairly regularly. And then Kelly, who you can barely see, he's all the way to the left. But it was interesting, just as I was trying to do that, it was interesting. I got the strangest look about the third time we went out. My wife and I went out and did this. We got the strangest look because I went in to their campground and invited them for a meal, and they were sitting around talking, and I grabbed one of their chairs and I sat down with them. I was just like, oh, you'll sit with us? You'll be one of us? It wasn't just about. And so that just began, I began to see that. And so that actually helped me feed into even how can I best minister to me. It's more about the interaction. Even though we're putting on a quality meal. I go on the list, but it's my wife's, we've had, because my wife's like, oh, we'll do hot dogs. And so I'm not doing hot dogs. They're easy. And my wife loves hot dogs. So that's why she mentions hot dogs. It's not about her, but it's like, no, we're going to do some things. In fact, Kelly, guy on the left, one day, the first time we did pot roast with the mashed potatoes, or not mashed, but the potatoes and the carrots and all that cooked in there. He came to me crying, and he says, this reminds me of home. My mom passed away 15 years ago, and this just makes me feel at home. And so to do something like that. Now, again, I don't want to, in some sense, sharing all this could be a little distracting from the main point, but it really gets to the key point, is I want to challenge you to find a process, find something that can be your ministry. We could go through the Bible. We can find times when ministry is done within the organized church structure, but you will find that most of the time when God has called people to go do something, it hasn't been part of the organized church or the organized the temple. It's usually their own calling that maybe other people come along with them, and there are times where that happens, but I think too often we miss the fact. It's funny, the scriptures that we shouldn't personalize, we do. And the ones that we probably should personalize, we tend to put off as being for the church. Just a little side note there. It's something just, as you're reading scriptures, think about that. Is this for the church or is this for a person? But nothing wrong with a church doing a homeless ministry. But I tell you, it speaks so much more when they just know that, oh, this wasn't a ministry. You just came and did it out of the goodness of your heart. But what happened here, and this is what I want you to take. That you would go and minister to the homeless. That may be what you do. But what is God asking you to do? God was asking me to do something. Also, what are you passionate about? I'm passionate about food, if it doesn't tell. And I'm also passionate about cooking. I love cooking good food. So what are you passionate about? And also, what are your gifts? I could say I have a gift at cooking. So it just became an easy thing for me to jump in. And it's turned into something bigger than we thought. But just to give you an idea, gifts is we're up to about 40 people between two locations. And it takes me about an hour and a half to 2 hours to cook for 40 people. So I sort of have a gift at being able to cook large amounts of food, quality that are good. So most people would be like, that'd be all day for me. But I can do it. So I used, what is God asking me to do? What am I passionate about? And my passion was that everyone would be treated as someone created in the image of God. That was my passion. And what are my gifts? My gifts are cooking. So today I want you to be thinking about those three things. What is God asking you to do? What are you passionate about? And what are your gifts? I'm going to propose that for most of you, there's a confluence where when these three things meet, that God, it's going to be clear what God is calling you to do. When you just put those together, I'm just convinced that most of you are going to have a light bulb go off. Even if it's not today. But sometimes as you think through this and say, God, what can I do? What is my commission? What is my commission? I just think that you're going to end up having something. But now I want to jump into this passage of Scripture, which, by the way, I like giving kudos. I'm like, hey, I have this, everything I shared here, I have this idea I want to share, but I don't really have a text. And Evan in our staff meeting, he says, here's the text for you. Anyway, I looked at it and go, yeah, this works great. So, usually I start with the text, so it's different for me. But this passage, it's interesting. If you look at it, it says, especially as I looked at it closer, I get amazed that after 20-some years of being a Christian and studying the Bible, that something just jumps out. But the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his field. Go, I am sending you. Now, I've heard it taught so many times. And you know what I've always taken away and what I've heard preached about it, and I've looked everywhere else where this is, just to verify, because this command is given in different places in some of the other Gospels, this thing, and it's the same everywhere, it's always been, you need more workers, let's pray for them. But it's rather interesting the way it is. It's ask for more workers, but go. Hey, it's really pretty clear when you start looking at it. It's saying, yeah, ask for more workers, but guess what? You're those workers. This go is a command. It's the same command that Jesus used when he cast the demons out of the guy, when he told them to go into the pigs. Same exact word, same exact context. It's a command to go. Just like the Great Commission to go into all the world. So, the harvest is plentiful. I think it is when you look at this community. How many people are on the verge of suicide right now? How many people have been trying to get rid of drug addiction for years? How many people have things that have happened in their past that they don't know how to get past, even with counseling? The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Go. Go. So are you willing to just pray for others or go? Now, my brother ended up receiving an award. He was over-the-road truck driver, like my wife and I were for a while. And he was in somewhere in the Northeast. And a car rolled over. And they'd had a gas can in the back of their, maybe it was a pickup, something, anyway, a gas can that spilled. And now there was this fire that had started. And my brother pulls over. And he hops out and he grabs the kid and the, interesting people in shock because they were more worried about the dog than they were the kid. But just people do that when they're in shock. It was interesting. I didn't even need to mention that. Sort of distracting. But he goes and he, as over 100 people, as he puts it, just keep driving by and do nothing. I'm sure some of those people prayed. But is that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to do what my brother did and jump out and actually save people? Isn't that what we're called to do? Isn't that what we're called to bring people into salvation? But so often in my prayer group, I point out that I say it all the time. I know it's my little thing of putting different words in Scripture, but that prayer without works is dead. Now, we say faith without works is dead. So you could argue with me about whether that's a good statement or not, but that's something I've come to believe, that prayer without works. We just pray that our neighbor comes to know Jesus? Or do we pray that he comes to know Jesus and then we tell him about him? Or do we help him out so he's even receptive to listen? Do we mow his lawn? What do we do? So, we're not just supposed to pray, we're supposed to go. I also love the honesty in this scripture, the Bible, because I tell you what, it says, go, I'm sending you out. Send you out like lambs among wolves. So I don't want to tell you that it's not going to be scary. I came to know the Lord, I had a little year or two of ups and downs, and then got plugged in with the discipleship program. And at a church, of all places, at 6th and Alberta in the 90s. Now, for some of you, and by the way, it's through that church where I came to know Kelly, meet Kelly. But yeah, if you knew that area, by the way, during those years, Portland had the most violent crimes per capita out of any city in the U.S. for 2 years in a row. And you want to know where most of those crimes were happening? Right around 6th and Alberta, okay? Actually, it was more towards 15th. 15th was the dividing line between the Bloods and the Crips, and just all types of stuff. My wife even saw a shooting on the bus, and I mean, it was tough. And I'll tell you what, I go do that, and all of a sudden they're like, we want you to go door to door, and you have a gang member answer the door with a gun in his hand wanting to know why you're at his door. Tell you what, it was a little like being thrown out like a lamb among wolves. Did God protect me? Yes. Did I use wisdom? Yes. Some of the other passages, not in this here, but when they talk about it, it talks about Jesus said to the disciples in a similar account that so they need to be as wise as serpent, as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. So there is wisdom. We had one guy who decided he'd go out and play basketball with gang members by himself at 2 a.m. to go do outreach. And every time he did it, he came back, black eyes, bloody noses. Yes, as he remembers. And he kept doing it. It's just like, well, no, we need to be wise as serpents. So there is something to it. But still, I'm just going to tell you, whatever, if there's fear that's going on, there's smart ways to deal with it, but we need to go out anyway. It's clear. We're going to go out and do ministry. We'll be like wolves, like lamb among wolves. I think another thing that's important here in this passage, if you're hearing the call to find your commission, is you don't need a college degree or a lot of else. Now, some things might lead to that, but God will provide it. It says here, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. There's a neighbor here. He goes to a church in Southeast, but this is just about a month ago. I was here on a Saturday doing some stuff, and I just walked outside, and I see there's a guy. He's wiping the graffiti. I didn't even realize it. We had graffiti on our sign right out here on the street, but he's wiping it, and I'm just like, oh, I get talking to him, and he tells me how he goes to church, and he just says, this is my ministry. I do this every Saturday. He says, I live about 5 blocks away. He says, I go around the neighborhood every Saturday for about 3 or 4 hours, and I remove all the graffiti. He shows me this little tote or caddy that he has that he walks around and has all the different graffiti removal tools. It's his ministry. So I just want to tell you that it doesn't even have to be huge. You know, I mean, even though don't let money, if it's going to need money, I'd say still go for it, but you don't necessarily need something huge to have an impact on a community or someone's life. Sometimes a simple hello, even engaging somebody. A simple, which again, I think was the most powerful moment of our homeless things, is me sitting down with them around their camp. That was simple. I didn't need money. I didn't need a college education. You know, any seminary. There's nothing in seminary that told me how to do that. I just did it. You don't need that. You don't need anything fancy. I want to just point another thing out here. Ministry, I go on, but ministry should happen outside of the church. I just want to see here this next scripture, because I had different in my notes. But when they enter a house, first say peace to this house. There's something, ministry doesn't necessarily happen in the church. Not that it doesn't, but I think too often we're in a mindset. And by the way, this is probably the key emphasis that I'd want to get across to you, even though I've brought this other stuff. But when I'm talking about ministry today, it may turn into something inside the church. But what I'm talking about is you going to your neighbor. I'm talking about you helping out with the kids in your neighborhood. Who lives next to you? Who's in this community? What can you do in this community to make it better? Now, maybe that would turn into something bigger and better, but I'm telling you, this is the thing for me. Is it's about you going out and finding what God wants you to do. I heard a preacher once, and I wish I could go through and find it, but he was looking at all the miracles in the New Testament. And the guy found out that 2/3 of the miracles happened in the marketplace. They weren't, you know, when Jesus was healing people, when the apostles were healing people, casting out demons, it wasn't here at the altar. It was downtown St. John's. It was going to the neighbor's house. And even though this was sort of something in the church, but I just think, and some people will know, but I just think it was interesting how, it was just amazing how one time we were calling it a Bible study, I think, at that time, but a home group or something, but in someone's house, and there was the spouse of the person where we were meeting. It's interesting. It first started off when we'd meet, like, out in the shop. Then all of a sudden, noticed the person was in the back room. And then the person slowly worked his way up to the kitchen and then finally started joining us. It was pretty amazing, really. But what I want to point out, that ministry, some of the most effective, most powerful ministry is not going to happen right here. It's not. If we want to reach this community, we need to be going out to the community. Effective ministry includes miracles. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near. It might be finishing a little earlier than normal, but I believe I've made my case. So I'm going to ask you again, who is going to do ministry? Yes, us and I are both appropriate answers. Is a church ministry the only place where ministry happens? No. Are you already equipped to do ministry? Okay. I think many of us feel we're not. And if you feel that way, guess what? We're going to help equip you better, but it's probably going to be more about make you feel more equipped. You're probably already equipped. Oh, do you know, just as I've talked, do you have any idea what you're going to do? Yeah. So again, what is God asking you to do? In our next series that we're starting next week, where it's going to be titled Listen and Look, we're going to be providing opportunities throughout the series for you to take time and listen and look around to see what God might be asking you to do. So if you're sitting here today saying, I'm not sure, guess what? We have weeks for you to search that question. What are you passionate about? Is it the homeless? Is it education? Is it yard work? Is it, I'm just trying to look around here, is it cutting trees down? You know, whatever it is. What are you passionate about? And what are your gifts? Let's find a way to put those together and do ministry. Now, again, I've mentioned it, but I just want to make it clear again. Those pieces of paper, I'm asking everyone, fill one of those out and bring it up here. You can just set it. I was going to have a basket, but I forgot. But anyway, just set it down here, and we will get you plugged in. If you say you want to start whatever you want to do, if you say you want to do it and you need help doing it, we will put someone alongside of you to help walk you through the steps of getting started. So my goal is that we have everyone in this church. Imagine the impact this would have on our community if everyone in our church was doing something that they could say is my ministry. If everyone was reaching out to their neighbor. If everyone was helping, just doing something more than just coming to church. I think our community would be better. And also, I believe that this is what God is calling us to do. I believe this is what God is calling us to do. So again, just as the worship team comes up, just want to just close with just an encouragement that whatever, if you have something in your mind, again, and you're saying, oh, I just don't know. I don't know. Well, guess what? We're going to come. We're going to help you. That's really what us leaders are really, too often your people in the church are looking for us to lead all the ministries. But really what we're supposed to be doing is equipping you to do ministry. So by you coming along and saying, I'm not sure how to do it, but I need help, is exactly what some of us in the church are here to do. So just go ahead, bring those forward, write it down, and we'll do that. But Lord, I just pray right now that you would come and open our eyes, open our hearts, our minds to hear the commission that you have for us. Holy Spirit, come and speak to our hearts and our lives. Let us all be able to step into the great commission that you have for each one of us. Amen.